We're going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. Everyone stand for the pledge.
Only on the regular meeting.
We'll do the pledge at the regular meeting then. My bad. You get the cassette back down? Yes, clerk, call the roll.
Mr. Waddell. Mr. Johnstone. Mr. Shealy.
Here.
Mr. Leskovic. Mr. Julian. Mr. Lastic. Mr. Stredney. Mr. Salito.
Here. We have AMP Ohio here. I'm going to go ahead and pass it over. They have a presentation they want to give us today.
One hand on one and one hand on the other here. Pleasure to be here this evening. Paul Beckhusen, I'm the Senior Vice President of Power Supply Planning and Generation Operations for American Municipal Power. And as the mayor indicated, I'm going to run through the power supply update for the city. Again, we do this annually for all of our members, and I'll start if you would flip over to the page slide number 2. This just shows a highlight historical energy and peak load demand for the city. So the blue line on top is your peak demand, and the red line going across there is the energy use on an annual basis. Go over to slide 3. I won't spend a lot of time here, just some definitions. We refer to power supply costs. There's three types of charges: energy, transmission, and capacity on the wholesale side of things. And we refer to, mostly on the wholesale, we refer to it a cost basis on a dollar per megawatt hour or dollar per kW month. And I'll do my best to roll that into kilowatts, cents per kilowatt hour, because that's at the residential or commercial industrial on the retail side. So slide 4 is just a cover slide. Slide 5 is the city's portfolio. So just a couple of comments here. Recently the city's added another resource. It's the blue pie at the top there, Tallgrass. That's a waste of heat project. And then we've also got some recommendations out for some additional solar to provide some more diversification to the portfolio. And that would be something that actually I think it just got sent out today. Consideration. But at the current look, this is what the 2027 resources look like. So if you go over one more slide. So, I just mentioned the one here. So we're working on a transfer of ownership in the Fremont resource from Niles to one of the other members in Westerville. And again, this is being done to just reduce the slightly the amount of the AFEC. Prior to that transfer, Niles' position in the Fremont Energy Center was 63%. This would reduce it down to 43%. So again, to just provide a little more diversification. I mentioned the Tallgrass waste to heat project. Bright Mountain Solar is the solar project we're currently working on that would add some solar to the portfolio. And then we tend to try to keep some of the energy on the market, so that provides flexibility with load variations and things like that that you are exposed to the market. So better representation of that is on slide 7. So this shows all the resources on an annual basis stacked on top of each other. So I'll look out to 2027. So you can see the additional resources starting to come in. So the light green at the very top, that's Blue Creek Wind. The checkered blue, that's the Tallgrass PPA that I just mentioned. And you'll see that red hatched line on top, that's that market exposure that we recommend members keep in their portfolio. And then as you move out through 28 through 2036, you'll see on that the Bright Mountain Solar, so that's the participation in the solar project. And just a note there, you'll see that red position in 26 reduced down to 27. That's that transfer of the Fremont Energy Center project that I just mentioned that we're working on. So next slide over, just a cover slide, slide number 9. We talk about the transmission and capacity charges that's related to the PJM footprint. So that's the regional transmission organization that that Niles and the majority of our other members are located in. They're responsible for procuring the capacity and transmission to meet all load-serving entities. So this just is a map that breaks that out, shows the different transmission zones, and in the case here, the city's in the First Energy Transmission Zone. Over to the next slide. This is the transmission charges. So again, being in the First Energy Zone, there's a rate associated with those transmission charges, and that charge is related to the one-time highest peak on an annual basis. So typically for the city and most all of First Energy, that usually occurs in the summertime. But this is a historical look at those rates going back from 2015 till current. You'll see it highlighted there in yellow. You see that upward trend. So that is consistent with all RTO, most of all the transmission across the entire PJM footprint. There's a lot of upward pressure on transmission rates. All load-serving entities have this charge. So whether you're an investor-owned utility, a co-op, or in the case of municipals, same rate. So one of the things that we work with members on with this is peak shaving. So there's some peak shaving resources here in the city that they participate in. We dispatch those units to lower the peak during those events, so you translates to less transmission related charges that you see there. So on the next slide, 11, it just shows when the peaks have occurred over this last transmission period. So everything's it's always in arrears. So the charges you're seeing for 2026 would be the peaks that occurred in 2025. So again, as I mentioned, most of the time you see the peaks in the summer. In this case, back last summer in June is when we saw those transmission peaks. And just a note there at the bottom, again, in reflection of those increasing transmission charges, the overall cost of transmission project to go up about $800,000. So again, not an insignificant amount of impact on the rates when it comes to transmission charges. Over the next slide, slide 12. These are the peak shaving projects that the city participates in, and again, driving a lot of value of these resources for the city. So the JV2 project, that's an overall project of AMP. AMP-CT, that's another peaking project. Both those projects are completely debt-free, so all the participants in that see a significant amount of value because there's no debt on projects. And then the RTO project, which one of the sites is hosted here in the city, is the RTO peaking project. Those are newer projects, so that debt service is on those projects for a period of time. But again, these are the peaking projects that help cost savings, passing and transmission charge. Next slide on 13 is a comparison of the transmission charges. So I'll just talk, if you look clear to the right, 2027. This just shows in the white bar what the transmission charges would be if there was no participation in the peak shaving projects, and then the red bar shows what that is with those projects. So you can see significant amount of money here. This chart's in dollars. It's in megawatt hours. So we pull this back into the energy chart or any energy related charge, but you can see it takes about $11-$12 a megawatt hour savings by participating in those projects. No, those would be compared to. So if you go back to the graph that showed the transmission charges, that would be what. In this case, if you go back to look at the 2027 charge, so I'm looking at slide 10. If you look at 2027 on our forecast there, we're looking at I don't have my glasses on here. Yeah, 915. So that 14 or that $26 would be based on if you paid that full rate. Okay. Oh, you're good. I'm just having to hold the button here. I'm trying to hold this so I can read it. So then just on slide 14 is some definitions around the capacity. So again, back to the three charges, you have energy, transmission, and capacity. So the only comment I'll make here is the capacity. And so transmission rates are the highest peak from January 1st to December 31st every year. On capacity, it goes from June 1st to May 31st. So it crosses two calendar years. And the capacity is based on the five highest peaks that occur in the entire PJM footprint. So back to that map I showed earlier, that entire footprint, the five highest peaks that occur from June 1st to September 30th. So basically the summer months. So on to slide 15. Again, this just represents the solid black lines are the historical capacity charges related to the load, the ATSI load, which is, again, where the city's load would be in PJM. So you can see it was pretty low for quite a few years, and then it's increased significantly the last couple of years, and we anticipate it to continue to go up. There were some caps put on the last two auctions that we just saw. They cleared at the highest at the cap. There's another auction in coming up in June. That one doesn't have a cap on it. So these grade areas or the grade bars in 28, 29, 29, 30, those are where our estimates are at. So we won't know those until that auction clears and what those actual costs may be. A couple of things. So over the last number of years, there's been a lot of resources retired, and particularly around coal resources. Coal plants been shut down. So we've got less supply, and now we're starting to see an uptick in load growth around data centers, around just industries. You know, we're starting to onshore more industries, more economic development. So we're just in an inflection point where the demand is starting to outstrip the supply. And again, these are forward auctions, so they're 3 years, typically are 3 years ahead. And then there's also there's some additional requirements. So PJM requires what they refer to as reserve margins. So if they identify what they think they need for reliability, then they put a margin on top of that. Those margins have also increased because, back to my earlier comment about particularly coal and other baseload resources being retired, we're seeing more wind and solar. So that means you need to have more resources available when the wind isn't blowing or the sun's not shining. So that's caused another significant increase related to the overall capacity requirements. On the next slide, this just shows those five coincident peaks that go into the calculation for the city's capacity charges. So again, you'll see when those peaks occurred. Again, always in the summer months, pretty consistent from the city's perspective, and again, not pretty typical for most. Most of our members in this area, and when the time of day and when they peak in the summertime. So gray box in the bottom again shows what those increases are with those related capacity charges. So again, for 2026, about $500,000 capacity charges increased. So the next slide is similar to that transmission slide that I showed earlier. So the white bar is what you see would see if you didn't participate in the peaking projects, and the red bar is what you the city actually sees. So in this case, actually see a bit of a credit because with all the resources that are located behind the meter here, you actually, during those peak times when we have those assets running, it offsets the entire load. So in this case, it's just, projected to be a slight credit. So again, another benefit to not only participating in the project, but having those resources in the community and located behind the meter. Provides that value. So the next slide just shows overall wholesale. Again, these are wholesale rates. So everything to the 2025 and back, those are what the actual rates are. So this is a stack chart. So the blue is the energy component. The light blue. The dark blue is the transmission, and then the really light blue or gray is capacity. You really can't see it here because, again, there's not much of a capacity charge because of what I just talked about. So you can see generally there was a downtrend there from 22 to 25, and then we're based again predominantly on the transmission costs and a little bit of the energy forecasting slight increase in wholesale costs 2026 and 27 to about, in this case, about a cent a kilowatt hour. So over on the next slide, this is just, and again, it's a bit of an eye chart, but we do this for all of our members and comparing their rates to their incumbent utility, whether that's an investor-owned or a co-op. And you can see here that comparison between this is Niles's rates from a residential perspective. If you flip over onto the next slide, you'll see what First Energy rates. So roughly 12 cents or just under 12 cents, or excuse me, 12 cents, and then First Energy is 18 cents. So those are currently about a 6 cent per kilowatt hour spread there, where First Energy's rates are higher. And then the last two slides,
Paul,
are just...
Paul, real quick, if I can add to that, and that's just on First Energy's kilowatt per hour rate, correct?
Right.
They also have additional fees and charges for capacity and transmission, et cetera, that does drive that total cost up even higher. Is that
right? Yeah, there's some of those that we account for some of that. Theirs are a little hard because they do these auctions, and so these are what we currently have. I'm not sure when the last auction was, but I know the last auction, and whether that's reflected here or not, I can't. But the last auction, they pretty significant increase. So, and we can always update that to you for informational purposes. The last two slides are really just informational. The one showing just the trend in the wholesale power prices. So, we saw a downtrend throughout basically the 2020, all the way up till 2020. We saw the wholesale markets increase, and now we've seen a new elevated norm there. And then on the last slide is just a comparison of the, again, these are wholesale rates on a monthly basis, 24, 25, and 26. So, again, pretty flat, pretty consistent. Again, the forecast of 2026, slightly elevated, predominantly being driven by the transmission cost that I mentioned. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. Went through a lot of that pretty quick.
I got one question. I guess I'm going to go back to whatever slide it was at the beginning, slide 7. Why are we dropping our percent to and giving up a percent of that power plant for whatever the new one was?
Yeah, so, based on our recommendation, so it's maybe easier to, if you flip to the pie chart, it's the same. It's just a little bit easier. So you can see currently the village. Excuse me. I was at another meeting this morning for one of our members at the village. For the city's position in Fremont, it's currently this year was 43%. So that's a pretty significant exposure to that one resource. So Fremont is a natural gas resource, so its costs are predominantly driven by natural gas cost. So I'll give you an example. These last couple of weeks, we saw a significant increase in natural gas prices. So this exposes the portfolio to that one fuel resource. So our recommendation is to, again, about 9%. So we're not taking, it's fairly, 9% out of 40. Just reducing that position down so that you're not so overly exposed to one project. The other thing there is if, we had an outage on one of the units there as well from, it started in November and came online and back in line in mid-January. So that entire time, the city would have been exposed to the market. Fortunately, the market was fairly stable throughout that time, so there wasn't much of an impact. But if that plant were to not be online at a time when the market is volatile or expensive, then you're fully exposed to that. So our recommendation is just to trim some of that position and provide some more diversification, particularly with solar, because there's no solar in the portfolio now. That was an additional position that we took on. I think we added that. Yeah, it was about 6 months ago when we subscribed that project, and that project won't be online. It won't be commercially online until 2027. Prior to that, again, same conversation around having more diversification, and also at the time when we made that recommendation, the market, trying to keep that market position at 10% or less. So two different resources. So they're solar, you're going to see the value in the summertime when the sun shines during those peak hours. This time of year, you're not going to get as much production. So on an overall cost basis, it's just a different resource. But for example, in the summertime, and again, I'm going off the top of my head on that on the Bright Mountain Solar, it's $70, $75, somewhere in that range per megawatt hour. And AFEC, again, depending on the time of the year, it's going to be less than that. But AFEC only runs when the market dispatches it, so it only runs when it needs to. So historically, AFEC's going to be less than that, but the solar's such a small percentage of your overall energy from a rate standpoint, it doesn't really impact it. It provides more value again during those peak times in the summer when you're seeing the capacity charges and most likely the transmission charges. And then again, it reduces that position as well as if AFEC were not to be available, you're less exposed to the market to have to meet that. So this particular project is a little bit further south. It's going to be located down in Kentucky. So when you talk about solar and any resource, we use the terminology capacity factor. And so this project is somewhere around 25%. So that means it's going to generate energy about 25% of the time. Solar in this part of the country is about 20%.
Didn't come off real popular, but I think it's something we probably missed that ship, you know, in sale. But I think it's something we should have done. And I would get a lot of, well, around here it's not going to be very effective. And everything. I tried to use the argument, right out here, you go out West Park and it changes the Brunstetter Road. Go all the way out to the end, there's a big dairy farm out there. They have 480 panels on the roof of one of their barns. It saves them $23,000 a year annually. Because they have a lot that they're powering there. Mm-hmm. That saves them $23,000 a year annually. And, you know, I thought, you know, it should have been something to look into just to offset things. So that Niles was ahead of the game, we could, you know, sometimes things don't always pan out the way you want them. But now this tall grass, which one? What is that?
So that is a it's a waste to heat project. So there's Oh, so there's two different locations. But what they do is they're compressors on a large natural gas pipeline. So the compressors have waste heat. They're capturing that waste heat and generating electricity.
So it's something other than just thinking.
Yeah.
So with relatively new with the data centers, we're seeing a larger demand forecast, and I think you showed that here too. Since that has been accelerated, I'll say it seems to be in the forefront of everything. Has that changed any of your positions at AMP? Have we accelerated any countermeasures?
There. So you know, from a forecasting standpoint, we've had members that have been approached by. So there's that component of it. From a planning standpoint, you know, again, the biggest drivers for that are these, particularly the capacity charges. So what we're doing and have been doing is we've got another behind-the-meter peaking project we're developing. We're also looking at some additional resources to add to the portfolio. You know, again, our portfolio is made up of every single one of our members' individual portfolios. So we roll that up. We identify the resource that we can get the best pricing on the economies of scale that we need. So we're looking at some additional resources that would hedge that capacity. The transmission is a little bit more difficult because the only way you can hedge that is to actually have those resources behind the meter, the members' meters. And in the case here at the city, we're pretty limited on being able to put anything else behind the meter here. We do have some other members. In that case, Niles could participate in the project, but most likely wouldn't host it here. But we've got... It would help on transmission as well if it's behind the meter. Yeah, because what we do is we take the savings across each of the locations, and then we aggregate that, and then everybody gets their prorated share of what that. No, so for example, the resources that are located here, the AMP resources are located here. All the participants in that project get a prorated share of the savings that is realized at the Niles location. I don't think I referenced a number there, but there, again, back to the capacity market slide, these auctions, again, being driven by these load forecasts that are being impacted by the data centers, whether they are real or not. Because the utilities put in their load forecast, And if they think they're going to get one 2 years from now, they put that in there. And what that does is it, in some cases, I think there's a number of these developers that are talking to a lot of different places, and every utility they talk to probably puts that in their load forecast. So you get this multiplying effect. So, and what that does is it results in these forecasts to be high, which then causes the market to react accordingly.
Yeah, Mike. Long term, I have no doubt that we
can
have that flat and find a solution. It's that time, you know, a lot of communities right now are taking a stance where they're banning these. And personally, I
yeah, again, those projects I mentioned, I mean, part of the challenge is at the same time this is occurring and you need to, you know, for example, you need to, if you want to add a generating resource, the time to add the generation right now can take longer than it can to bring that load on. So it's, again, we're at a really unique inflection point in just the market on both the load and the supply side.
From the uncertainty of capacity?
So the cap that was put on there was it was a the state of Pennsylvania, the governor of Pennsylvania took the lead on that, and it was politically approach PJM to put a cap. And what they did is they put a cap, they put a floor as well. So the market couldn't go lower than $5-ish a kW a month, and the cap was at 10. It wouldn't surprise me if there's not some more conversations around a cap with this next auction coming up in June. But we haven't, you know, there hasn't been anything that's come to fruition on that yet. You don't know if so I'll just go around it, you know, go around the clock there. Prairie State is the coal resource that is it's a really excellent resource for us. So that's one that we plan to have around. The Blue Creek Wind, that's a 3-year contract. So in 3 years, that piece expires. So we would be coming back to the city to talk about how we replace that. Then we have the market position. And then the rest there, the hydros, those are all long-term resources. And then we talked about AFEC already.
Real quick, Paul, I just want to touch on this. I think it's very important and segue from that the comments you just had, Aaron. You know, I know that there's a lot of residents concerned about a data center within the city. And we've certainly had conversations with companies over the year about locating here. One thing that we did find out is the high volume of capacity that they pull. And, you know, a very small data center is going to pull 100 megawatts per day on a peak day in the city of Niles. We operate on 80, 85 megawatts. Right. So the idea of one or the city hosting one it, minus a new substation, like the capacity of the main sub on 422, is just not possible. The idea behind that is one of these data centers come in, they drain your local grid, that the city is experience more demand, needs more capacity, needs more transmission, then comes the higher costs and the cost increase that would be passed on to the residents. So I think we're in a safe position that we can be confident in telling our residents that, you know, we can't even host one of these because of our system limitations. So the idea that would be the one would locate, drive that cost up, and would have to be passed on to the residents in the city itself is not a true statement.
Yeah, from a market perspective, I mean, it's truly a market. It's supply and demand. So the more demand there is, not enough supply, the price goes up. So that's, again, that goes back to why we really focus in on trying to make sure the portfolio is hedged so you're not exposed to that market and making sure that those types of things have less of an impact on overall rates.
Well, the size of our main sub on 422, you're...
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
In the tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah, it's...
The tens of millions of dollars, 50 million...
Yeah. So yeah, we currently don't have any members that have a large data center. I mean, we've got a few members that have data centers that are 50 megawatts or less. So, I mean, they're still relatively large, but not some of these. But what we are seeing across the industry is, in the case where a data center is looking to develop in this, and we issued a white paper on things for our members to think about if they are approached by developers. But all of those large capital investment costs, we would recommend, and what we're seeing with other utilities being pushed off 100% onto that data center, so they pay all the costs associated with infrastructure, with you know, when it comes to power supply, making sure that those risks are all hedged by them having the deposits or the collateral in place so that those costs are not transferred to the existing load base. Yeah, and that's kind of what is, and PJM is working on some things to try to take that noise out. But to, yeah, a developer can be talking to somebody in First Energy, somebody in AEP, somebody in another utility somewhere, and that load then gets put in these forecasts. And there's some things PJM's trying to do to make sure that there's not that double counting. But at least at the current point in time with these forecasts, we're seeing with the most recent auctions, that's in there.
AMP does that for us annually, and yeah, we are. I think that ratio is 1.2, I believe. 1.
If it's regards to the debt covenants on our projects, yeah, there's requirements associated with each project that you participate in.
To answer your question, we're covering it.
We'll be here as often as you need us. I appreciate it. Thank you.